Welcome to The Brand Advantage. This series, brought to you by Bluetex, explores how brand creates real competitive leverage by increasing enterprise visibility, strengthening credibility, and ultimately raising enterprise value. Each episode distills proven strategic thinking from the Bluetex perspective into focused, practical insight, designed to be consumed, not pitched. Strong brands create advantage long before the deal. Now let's jump into another episode of The Brand Advantage.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today we are tackling a subject that, on the surface, sounds like it belongs in a marketing seminar SEO.
Right.
But before you roll your eyes and maybe skip ahead, I need you to pause.
Yeah.
Because the source material we're unpacking argues that, for the cybersecurity industry, SEO isn't just about vanity metrics.
No, not at all. It's quite literally about survival.
It's that serious.
It really is. We're looking at this comprehensive guide, and right out of the gate, they hit us with a concept every security pro knows in their bones. Security teams cannot defend what they cannot see.
The golden rule of defense, right. You can't stop a threat if it's invisible to you.
Exactly. But here's the hook, and this is where it gets so interesting. The source argues that this exact same truth applies to your business. If your solution is invisible in search, the buyers who need it most, well, they'll never find you.
And they often need it in a moment of absolute panic.
In a moment of panic. To them, you just don't exist.
That is the core tension here. For, you know, a lot of industries, SEO is a volume game. Get traffic, sell sneakers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in cyber, the stakes are totally different. We're not talking about impulse buys.
No, we're talking about digital trust. During a critical moment, when a CISO or a security practitioner goes to Google, they are not browsing for fun. They're hunting.
Hunting for a solution.
To a very specific, often very dangerous problem. And if you treat SEO like some generic marketing checklist, you miss the entire point.
So the mission for this deep dive is to unpack how cybersecurity brands can actually align themselves, their content, their tech, their reputation, with the way these buyers actually search.
We're moving way beyond basic blog posts here. This is high-stakes decision support.
And the source says the market has matured. The days of just stuffing a page with keywords are long gone.
Over. It's now about the intersection of three things: intent, expertise, and speed. Miss one, and you're invisible.
Okay, let's start with intent, because the source makes a really critical distinction about who's doing the searching. It's not one generic buyer, is it?
Yeah.
No, and if you treat them like that, you lose. You have to cater to two very, very distinct searchers. First, you have the executive.
The C-suite, the CISO. Person signing the check.
Exactly. But think about their mindset. They're managing risk. When they type something into Google, they're not looking for code snippets. They want concise risk framing.
They want the business case.
A business case. Total cost of ownership, time to value, business outcomes. You know, they need to know that this tool solves a problem without bankrupting them.
Okay, so that's the boss. Who's the other person?
The practitioner, the technical evaluator, the person who actually has to make the thing work. And they have a built-in BS detector.
Oh, for sure. They hate fluff.
So if you give them a glossy marketing page when they're looking for technical specs,
you've lost them.
You've lost their trust. Instantly, they bounce. They need to see the nuts and bolts.
It's interesting because the context of these searches can be so intense. The source uses a ransomware incident as an example.
It's the nightmare scenario. Imagine a company gets hit. It's 2 a.m. on a Tuesday. The team isn't searching for top 10 security trends.
No, they're searching for how to stop the bleeding.
Immediate help. Remediation steps, decryption tools, an incident response partner. And if you're a provider and you invested in the right kind of SEO, you appear right there with credible guidance.
And that visibility isn't just marketing at that point.
In that moment, visibility is trust. If you're the one providing the answer when the building is on fire, you're not just a vendor anymore, you're a partner.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So knowing we have these two audiences in this high-stakes environment, how do we actually build a content strategy? The source brings up something called the 70-30 rule.
Yeah, this is a great framework. It's for balancing stability with agility. So 70% of your effort goes into what they call evergreen pillars.
The big permanent topics.
Yes. Think of them as permanent hubs of authority. Topics like zero trust architecture, vulnerability management, SOC efficiency. These are the foundational concepts.
They're not going away.
Exactly. You build deep, authoritative content around them. That's how you show both the CISO and the practitioner that you understand the landscape.
Okay, that's the foundation. What's the 30%?
The 30% is the fast turn clusters. This is the newsroom part of the strategy. Content for new CVEs, new ransomware variants, supply chain vulnerabilities.
So this comes back to that speed component we mentioned.
It does. The brands that can operationalize this rapid publishing are the ones buyers bookmark. A new threat emerges Tuesday morning, and by Tuesday afternoon, you have a credible analysis up. You win.
You become the first credible voice.
You do. It's incredibly demanding, but it's necessary. And there's a nuance here for a specific slice of the market, B2G.
Right. Business to government. The source warned against using marketing abstractions. What does that mean for them?
Government buyers, they just don't care about your clever tagline. They care about mission outcomes. They search for very specific things like ATO timelines, authority to operate, or FedRAMP considerations.
So if your website is all, "We secure the future," but doesn't mention FedRAMP.
You're invisible to them. You need precise language about contract vehicles, about interagency collaboration. It's all about clarity and speaking their language.
Okay, let's shift gears to the technical side.
Yeah.
Because you can have the best content, but if the website's a mess, it's all for nothing. The source calls speed a feature.
It's not a luxury. It's table stakes. Security audiences have, zero patience for slow sites. Core Web Vitals are absolutely essential.
There was a detail in that section I thought was fascinating. The off-hours browsing.
That's such a great catch. Practitioners especially, they're often browsing on lockdown devices or on their phones during off-hours. 2 a.m. troubleshooting, a commute.
So if your site isn't mobile responsive or is super heavy with code, it's not just annoying.
It's broken for them.
Yeah.
But there's an even wilder technical constraint they mention, the false positive risk.
Oh, this blew my mind. Walk us through this.
Okay, so think about the audience. These pros use heavy-duty endpoint protection on their own machines, right? Firewalls, extensions, the works. Now think about a lot of modern marketing websites. They're loaded with aggressive tracking scripts, ad code, retargeting pixels.
Uh-oh. I see where this is going.
If your website looks suspicious to their security software, the buyer's own tools might flag your site as a threat and block it.
That is the ultimate irony. You're trying to sell them security,
right,
and their own security software blocks you for looking malicious.
Exactly. So you need a clean code foundation. No shady trackers, no bloated code. You have to be cleaner than clean.
And part of that cleanup is something called structured data. How does that apply to cyber?
It's about helping search engines understand exactly what they're looking at. For vulnerability advisories, this is huge.
So you're basically telling Google, hey, this isn't just a blog post. This is a specific CVE warning.
Precisely. You structure the data so Google knows, okay, this is the CVE. Here's the version number. Here's the risk level. It helps you dominate the search results with these rich, helpful snippets.
Which feeds right back into that idea of trust. It just looks more authoritative. Which brings us to the acronym of the hour, EEAT.
Experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. Google is incredibly strict about this for what they call YMYL categories, your money or your life.
And cybersecurity is definitely a YMYL category.
100%. Bad advice here can cost a company millions. So expertise is non-negotiable. The source is clear. You cannot have generic admin posts.
No, most by the marketing team.
That kills credibility.
Mm.
You need named authors with verifiable credentials, link to their LinkedIn, show their history. You need original research, not just recycled commentary.
And this extends to backlinks too. The source talks about ethical backlinks.
Yeah, in some corners of SEO, people buy links. In cybersecurity, that is reputation suicide. You want to mirror the industry's actual trust graph.
So you want links from?
From analyst outlets, academic communities, standards, bodies like NIST. A citation from a university research paper is gold. A link from some generic content farm is worthless.
Or worse than worthless.
It could look suspicious. You build thought leadership that naturally attracts those high-quality links.
Mm-hmm.
Long-form guides, decision frameworks.
And tools, right. I mentioned calculators.
Yes, tools are huge, like a ransomware cost calculator. That's something a practitioner will actually use and link to. It builds authority naturally.
I want to circle back to something from the beginning, the high-stakes nature of all this. There's a whole section on SEO as crisis management.
It's a brilliant way to think about it. When a major security event happens, like Log4, search becomes the primary truth-seeking channel. Everyone is Googling.
So how does a brand prepare for that? You can't predict a breach.
You can't predict when, but you can predict that something will happen. The source suggests pre-building brand plus breach and brand plus vulnerability pages.
Wait. You have a page ready to go that says our company plus breach? That sounds terrifying to a PR team.
It sounds counterintuitive, I know. But think about the alternative. If you don't have a page ready, who ranks first when someone searches, did your company get hacked?
News outlets, Twitter, Reddit.
The rumor mills, exactly. If you pre-build a response hub, you control the narrative. You have the infrastructure ready to go.
So when the crisis hits, you just fill in the facts and hit publish.
And you use what are called canonical signals to tell Google, this page is the one source of truth. It's SEO as reputation defense.
Yeah.
You are de-escalating panic.
That's fascinating. You're literally fighting for control of the search results page.
Because when people are scared, they Google. And if you're the top result with a calm, clear statement, you win.
So we've built the content, fixed the tech, got the crisis plan. How do we know it's working? The source says to move beyond traffic.
This is so crucial for the C-suite. They do not care about rankings. They'll ask, so what? They care about revenue.
So what are the real metrics?
Assisted revenue and pipeline influence. Did a prospect read 3 of your blog posts before they signed a contract? That's SEO revenue. You have to trace that journey.
The source also mentioned share of search.
That's a great one for brand strength. How much of the conversation in your category do you own versus your competitors? Are people searching for you?
And conversion quality, too, which I found interesting.
Right. It suggests looking at how often organic visitors become sales qualified versus, say, paid traffic. Often, organic traffic converts better because they found you with high intent.
So how do you actually get this all done? It sounds like a massive undertaking.
It is, which is why the operational side is key. You can't just have one SEO person in a corner. You have to organize teams around topics, not just product.
So instead of the product X team, you have the zero trust team.
Exactly. And that team is cross-functional. Product marketing, research, comms, they all have to be in a ritual together.
Systematization.
And templates. You need templates for advisories, for comparison pages. You can't be designing a new page when a crisis hits. You fill in the blanks and publish. Speed.
It really all comes back to speed and trust.
It does. It's about being agile enough to match the pace of the threat landscape itself.
So let's wrap this up. We've covered buyer psychology, technical SEO, crisis management. What's the big takeaway here?
I think it's that modern cybersecurity SEO is a blend. It's technical, excellent speed, clean code. It's deep subject matter authority, real experts, real research, and it's rapid response.
It transforms SEO from just a marketing checklist
into a strategic capability. It supports pipeline resilience. It shifts the mindset from how do we get traffic to how do we build trust.
And that brings us to our final thought for you, the listener. I want you to consider your own digital footprint.
This is the real question.
If a major crisis hit your industry tomorrow, a new vulnerability, a massive breach, would your brand show up as a trusted guide in the search results? Or would you just be invisible?
And if you're invisible, you're not just missing traffic. You're missing the entire conversation.
A scary thought, but a necessary one. That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next one.
Stay secure.